to a showdown edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast crossover. Here the dare. Eric Name is with me for what last year we would have thought was maybe, and honestly, when the schedule was made, clearly thought was like potential finals preview,
yeah.
Cross conference. Man, this is going to be interesting. ESPN better put it as a showcase game. Instead, ESPN still kept it as, which is, you know, for the Warriors, that's incredible because they've had four games recently flexed out. But the national audience watched what was actually more competitive than we probably thought, but still kind of dull basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at this game, Bucks fans would have expected this is going to be a beatdown. And I just think back to last year. In Oracle, Bucks have this huge win. It's like their way to announce to the world, like, hey, we're on a West Coast trip, beat the Warriors in Oracle, beat them down, fourth quarter starters don't play. And this year it's like, yeah, the Warriors just aren't that team anymore.
Doesn't feel quite as significant to beat them.
No, just a little bit different. And then they didn't even play well. Like it was a sloppy game from the Bucks. They didn't play well. I don't know. We were just talking about this before we started recording. I don't know what the gauge is for the Warriors, whether or not that was them playing well or not playing well. But the Bucks certainly didn't, and we got a close game out of it.
Well, this is the Warriors dragging the Bucks into an ugly game, which that is the Warriors playing well, because that's who the Warriors have become this year in their current state. No Steph, no Klay, obviously, no D'Angelo Russell tonight. I mean, that's over $100 million worth of salary just at the guard position, just at scoring guards, gone. So they've turned into a league average defensive team, and they entered tonight the 30th. Best offense in the league, the worst offense. So they know they can't score, and they know they're not an elite defense, but in their mind, there's one part of, you know, that's elite to them, the sure. fact that they can be the 14th best defense. So this is what they want to do. Like 19-19 at the end of the first quarter, the Bucks fans, whoever, people that are used to watching the Warriors are probably like, wow, that was gross. The Warriors are like, exactly where we want them. 19-19. Because that's just the players they have. Kai Bowman, he just wants to be a pest. You know, he's not going to be Steph Curry or D'Angelo Russell. So, yeah, I think the Warriors walked out of here tonight like, yeah, you know, played solidly, stayed in the game, didn't embarrass ourselves on national TV, got one step closer to the lottery balls coming our way, which is all they really care about.
What's Smilagic? How do you
Smilagic?
Smilagic.
Smilagic.
He just does stuff, man. Like, I don't know if it's always like, I was just having this conversation with Nick Friedell. Like, I don't know if it's good or not, but he does stuff.
He doesn't know if it's good. He didn't know the game was on ESPN tonight. It was his first national TV game. I'm not sure he even knows what that means.
Sure.
He even said post game, I didn't really know what I was doing out there. He doesn't. I don't know if you know his story much. 19 years old, just pulled out of nowhere. In Slovenia, and they kind of tried to hide him. I know it was like didn't go over necessarily well in like, you know, the executive levels of the NBA, and they tried to hide him in the G League last year because he wasn't not yet old enough to be draft eligible. Snuck him in at the 39th pick. They actually had to trade into it and trade 2 second rounds. They actually are high on his future, as you mentioned. Aggressive,
yeah,
confident. A little confused out there. The Bucks repeatedly tried to drag him into action. But, you know, he's going to get cooked by Giannis, but he thinks he can guard Giannis.
Yeah.
And he thinks he can score on people. And, like, that does go a long way. Like, for, you know, the biggest thing in the Warriors locker room, especially right now, win Draymond Green over, right? I mean, he's kind of like the lone remaining guy. He's such the pillar of the organization, and Draymond Green really likes Alan Smilagic. He says he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, but at least he's out there just wanting to do stuff, and that is better than some of the Warriors' other younger guys that we don't necessarily have to get into.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I came away impressed, even though I don't know, like I said, if I know what he's doing or he knows what he's doing, but like, I came away impressed. And I mean, from the Bucks side, like, that was just a really sloppy game. This is two in a row where they just look totally lost offensively. Against the Spurs, I think it made a lot of sense because the Spurs made a bunch of shots, shot 54% from the three-point line. It's pretty tough to look good offensively if you keep taking the ball in the net. Like, that's just not going to happen. wasn't that way tonight. Like, the Warriors weren't making a lot of shots. They were turning the ball over. I think early they had 8 turnovers, and the Bucks had only scored 4 points off of those turnovers. So it was just, I thought, a really poorly executed game from the Bucks, where they weren't doing much of anything right offensively. And it wasn't like they were turning the ball over themselves. Like, they didn't have many turnovers on the game. They just weren't making shots. They weren't executing offensively. And I think the one thing Mike Budenholzer mentioned in his postgame is that, you know, they're just not getting to their spots right now. They're not executing with the urgency and the pace that you need. And, you know, when you're an elite basketball team, certain things are expected of you. And the Bucks haven't brought it in that way in the last two games. And, I mean, it just shows, like, that it's not that they need to execute. Obviously, if you have a guy like Giannis, you can win a sloppy game. Like, Chris Middleton can find some ways to ISO for some buckets. And he obviously did that in the second half. But in the end, like, this was, the Bucks are just talented, and they could out-talent the Warriors on a night where they weren't good. Like, they just looked bad the entire night, and yet they still ended up winning.
Yeah, I mean, it's what the Warriors used to do to everybody yeah. else. And the Warriors had less motivation than even the Bucks have, used to have less motivation than the Bucks have, because they also had titles behind them, too, where yep. it was like, yeah, just can we please get to, you know, mid-April. But it's the dog days of the season, you know, January, the stretch from the, okay, Christmas has passed, the marquee Christmas game is gone, the New Year's excitement is fading.
I was gonna say, I actually just asked Bud about this. Yeah. So I was like, so that is like a I think a league wide held belief that, like, the good teams separate themselves in the time between New Year's Day and the All-Star break. Like, that's the spot every year where if a team had a hot start, you figure out if they're any good. If a team was not playing up to the level you thought, can they get it back and get into a spot where they needed to be? If they're the best team in the league, can they go out and win a bunch of games? And Bud pretty much said that exact thing. Like, these are the dog days. Like, this is where you figure out if your team's actually good. And winning ugly like this, you know, maybe isn't going to win them any style points. It certainly isn't going to make anyone who watched them on ESPN tonight think any more of the Bucks or think that they are the team to beat. But in the end, it's a win, and it shows that they do have some level of grit and some level of talent that they could win on a night where it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, you know, Portland lost in here. Houston on Christmas Day yep. lost in here. You know, it's not the easiest thing to do. And, you know, I don't know. The energy level is excusable because it's just – it's hard for guys to get up before. Like, to me, the All-Star break is kind of the demarcation point where, yes, you mentioned, especially winning, you know, seeding-wise, this is a time if you pile up the wins, you can separate yep. yourself. But to me, like, the stretch run where you really need to start hitting the gas pedal is post-All-Star break. You get the rest. You kind of get any, like, small bruises on the body get to recover. The mind gets to recover. And I start really trying to figure out, I remember when I covered a team that was good, I no longer do. You know, are they starting to gain a rhythm at the right time? Bucks are fine. I mean, regardless of if, you know, let's say, you know, they're going Sacramento, Portland after yep. this. They go 1-1 and don't look great. And then you're looking at like a 2-2 West Coast road trip against not great West teams where they didn't play really good in any of the games. It's really, you know, it's just not that big a deal as long as you get out healthy and like Giannis is still around. But for you,
like, this is obviously the Bucks are 33-6 now at this point.
It's a good
did each year with that Warriors team have like a different vibe to it? I know I talked to Steve about this a little bit in like Australia over the summer, but like Steve Kerr had said, like, yeah, like you could tell which years like I need to push a little bit harder or they were just gonna win. Like, could you feel that with those Warriors teams? Like, it was like, oh, this was reminiscent of year two Warriors or year three. Like, could you, yeah, did they have personalities like that?
Yeah. Year one, Kevin Durant era Warriors was like new and like, you know, especially with KD, he was so motivated to like learn the Warrior system and there's, you know, all these new things. Oh, he's doing some off ball cutting and there was just so much more of a buy in collectively. And the rest of the team was coming off that just gut wrenching, awful finals loss to the Cavaliers. Yeah. And it was like, half of it was a avenge type season. They need to go avenge what they should have had, they yeah. felt. So there was more like motivation on a nightly basis, even in the dull months of the season. And from Durant's side, it was like, not only was he trying to learn and like pump for that, but he also was like going around the league as the villain for the first time.
Yeah. So
like, that was the story. And that was like a pretty invigorating regular season, because you just had, that was the storyline that hovered over the team. Year two, Durant, they had just pummeled the league in those playoffs. 16-1,
yep.
Were 15-0. And really should have gone 16-0, and then they just kind of lost game four in Cleveland. But it was just like as dominant a playoffs ever. So they stepped into year two, and the league was like, what are we doing this for? You know, that was when there was like at the peak level of like, this is just completely unfair. Yep. Nobody knew the Rockets were going to rise up and actually give them a challenge yet. So that became kind of a boring regular season in year two, and it was like, that was when Kerr would talk all the time about like, you know, it was so hard to get them up, and, you know, they gave them practice off so much. It was like they probably practiced, actually had a legit practice during the 82-game regular season like four times. Like he would call a practice, but it would be like, you know, Steph come in and do some little individual work.
Sure.
He would call them get what you need days. Literally, guys go play golf. They get like, he would say like, whatever you think
literally
you need
what you
mentally.
Need.
Go do that. And that can mean come into the facility and like get treatment. That can
sure.
mean like go to the movies with your wife if she needs something.
Yeah.
And then year three, particularly this is early, you know, November, you know, the incident I'm talking about, Draymond and Durant
yep.
on the bench. That just became drama, 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 off court
yeah.
drama. That was like the identity of the team was just, wow, this is breaking apart. Wow, how do they try to keep these relationships together? How do they try to guide this still monster of a team, but that's kind of like falling apart at the seams emotionally, that's mentally fried together? And those were kind of the three personalities, I would say, of the Warriors teams. And this team currently has a different personality.
Because
young, scrappy, and now 9-30. Worst team in the West.
I was trying to figure out what the Bucks would be going into this season, because last year was like, people were just wondering, okay, like, can they actually win the playoffs? And then they did win the playoffs, but they ultimately didn't win enough in the playoffs. So I couldn't figure out going into this year if it was going to be, hey, we're super motivated to show everyone that we are actually good and like light the world on fire, or hey, we need to figure things out in the regular season, so let's test some things out, let's experiment a little bit, let's see like how this is all going to work, let's improve on the things that we thought were weaknesses during the playoffs. And really, they've just like come out this year and been super motivated. They don't really take nights off. They just keep playing hard and finding a way to win. And I really didn't know what to expect this year, because there's no way to know how a team experiences both success. Like, that's the first time they'd won a playoff series in 17 years. Like, this was their first real success, and you just had no idea kind of how they were going to handle it, because it could have gone one of two ways. And it's obviously gone away where they're using it as motivation, saying like, all right, like, we're going to prove this, even though no one will allow them to prove anything in the regular season. Like, the only thing that matters is getting to the NBA Finals and winning. Like, that's it. But yet they are trying to prove it every night.
Yeah, it reminds me more of the Thunder teams I used to cover. Because they were dominant regular season teams perennially, but knew it all that mattered was getting to the finals. And they had the success so early, you know, 2012.
Yeah.
They were all 23. They got to the finals. And then every year after that, you know, even they, so they trade Harden after the finals. So, yeah, I guess kind of the storyline, the identity was like, we're proving that we didn't need Harden.
Yeah.
You know, he's going on to do what he did in Houston. But they were dominant in the regular season that following year, 60 wins, like a double-digit net rating. And it was like they took it serious, just like the Bucks did. But at the same time, it was like, okay, we will see in the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
Everything. The Bucks are getting to the point where they're 33-6 right now. It's awesome. They look like they're a juggernaut. But we all know, it, as you know, if they don't do it on the highest stage, it's a failure.
Yep.
And that can motivate a team in the regular season, juice them up. But it's also it's a pressure packer, and where it's crazy is they can seem so in control all season, but one playoff loss and you can you got to look around and start to feel like, uh-oh, is it shaky legs? Is it, if it's 1-1 in a Philly series, suddenly game three, and look, they can go 65 wins, dominate the first round. Second round, let's say they're playing Philly. They win game one pretty easily, but then they just have a bad game and lose game two, and then suddenly it's like, wow, this is like in peril right now.
And it's really interesting to think about, because I thought last year they had that game against the Celtics. Game one against the Celtics in the second round, they get smacked at home, and it's like, oh, they might not be ready for this. Like, maybe they were just a regular season juggernaut, and then Giannis comes out, they win, and, I mean, they go on to win the next four against the Celtics and go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and, you know, everything was totally fine. But I think that is... I've been trying to pin it as a Warriors year for like a while, and I think you're right. Like, it is more thundery.
The title, the Warriors, they had won the title. Like, they won the title their first year, they were really good, and then after that, you kind of have the, well, we've already done it. But yeah, it's more thundery to me. One season, I would say, it kind of reminds me of the year Durant won MVP. It's only MVP 14. Everyone remembers the speech.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that was still when the speech was coming after the first round. That first round, they went in 2-7, and they played the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies were the seventh seed because Gasol had, like, broke his foot early in the year. And, like, so they were, like, a very good seventh seed. And they went down 2-1, and they went down 3-2. Mm-hmm. And they played four overtime games that first round. And it was, like, that was when it was kind of moving beyond, wow, this incredible young team, to, like, pressure's on, win. Kevin Durant's free agency is coming up in a couple years. And I remember that first round. I was working at the Oklahoma at the time. Most people might remember this. It was the Mr. Unreliable headline was during that series when they were down 3-2 going to Memphis. Tony Allen was, like, a pest on him. and, like, that was like, as good as they were in the regular season, as great as Durant was, and that was his MVP season, it suddenly felt shaky in round one against the Grizzlies. So it's all about the playoffs.
Man, that I'm happy. Like, I've just had a breakthrough. Like, I've been looking for the historical, like, comparison the whole time, and I think that Thunder year, like, that makes sense to me, that this is kind of what it is. And, yeah, I mean, like, it legitimately doesn't really end up mattering what this Bucks team does during the regular season. And, like, we're always talking. I ask Bud constantly, like, oh, was this something that's more viable during the playoffs? Is this something that shows you can do something different in the playoffs? Like, Chris Middleton on the wing, posting up, making plays. Okay, does that mean your offense is more versatile? Brooke Lopez posting up. Does that mean that you can do more in the playoffs instead of just being centered around Giannis? And they've been working towards those things, but then, you know, like, the last two games happened, and it looks a lot like things looked like in the Eastern Conference Finals, where teams just stack up the wall, miss a bunch of shots, and it's, what do we do? Like, what are we going to do now that Giannis is missing, like, can't get into the lane, we're missing shots, how do we get through this? Like, that continues to be the question for them. And again, I don't know that they can answer to the post and until the postseason. Winning a game against the Warriors here is nice. Like, it'll keep the net rating high, it'll keep the record in pristine shape. But in the end, like, that's I mean, no one in the league views it any other way. Like, they have to do it in the playoffs.
Yeah. And, you know, there's obviously the need to not, like, overreact to small things, good or bad. I think marquee matchups are important to watch. You know, like, if I'm a Bucks fan, 33-6, but that Christmas game
hurts.
Probably scares you a little bit. You can't really, like, you can't come in here and avenge that. You're playing the Warriors. So we'll see. That's what the NBA has become. I mean, let's... And they're not the only teams. I mean, think about if you're the Houston Rockets this season. There's a reason I think Houston and older teams who have veterans, I think, tend to come into the season a little bit lazier than teams like the Bucks, because James Harden and Russell Westbrook really know that their season will only be defined in the playoffs, where James Harden could play, you know, the worst level of James Harden defense, can kind of whatever around, can shoot as many threes, can get criticized. But he knows, or should know, at least at this point, if he just gets to the NBA Finals, if he wins the title, it's going to be the greatest season of his career. He's going to get lauded for it. Or if he rips off another MVP, but flames out again, what's going to be the storyline heading into the offseason. It's just going to be about the flameout. It's not going to be about the MVP anymore. So that is, I guess that's probably always been the NBA, but definitely the new NBA and how we consume and talk about it. It's just we entertain ourselves for these regular season months because what are we going to sit at home and not pay attention? No, we're going to talk about it. But legacy-wise, legacy of the Bucks, legacy of Giannis, yep, that is all mid-April through mid-June.
And this year, I think, is especially interesting in that regard because, well, the Warriors don't exist in the way that they used to exist anymore. Like,
they don't? Sure. Kat Bowman looks pretty good.
But, like, all those questions surround everyone. So for the Lakers, it's like, okay, can Anthony Davis actually win? When you look at the Clippers, can Paul George actually be a part of a winner? The Bucks are trying to figure that out. You mentioned the Rockets already. Like, you go down the Sixers. Like, you keep going down the line, and those same questions are going to come up. And there's proven winners in all those places. Like, I'm not trying to say that there isn't. Like, obviously, Kawhi won last year. LeBron has won. Like, you can see all those things, but those questions exist for a bunch of teams around the league, which I would have thought was going to make this season really interesting, like the regular season really interesting. I don't know that it has, and I'm not 100% sure.
The ratings tell you it hasn't caught everybody's attention.
Sure, but I don't know what it is. I think there's something to be said about how top-heavy and bottom-heavy the league is. Like, there's no one really in the kind of middle, but I don't know. It's made for a weird season, and, I mean, a season where if the Bucks put it all together and take care of business, like, they can win an NBA championship. Like, that's the bottom line for them, and that was true last year that they could have done it. They didn't do it, but that's the reality that you got to keep working towards that really that final month, like towards June. That's what you're working for, and that's what matters going into that. So you can't prove anything now, but if you can build the right habits and figure out how you're going to win games during that time, you're in the right direction, and you're putting yourself in the right spot to succeed.
Yeah, you want the one seed. You want to be sharp. And whatever happens after that, happens after that. But like you said, put yourself in the best place. I wanted to ask you about Giannis. You're early, way too early, feeling on like where this Giannis thing is going. Obviously, from a Warrior fan perspective, it's the premier situation they want to monitor.
Yeah,
but is going a lot better than some of the other ones for, you know, the team that holds the superstar.
Sure.
Where their dream is obviously to maybe package like a D'Angelo and a pick and whatever for like a Ben Simmons, a Bradley Beal, yeah, you know, whatever. Giannis, to me, it obviously seems like everything there at this point is in a pretty secure franchise to superstar relationship.
So I guess like the spot to start is like that package you listed. It's not enough for Giannis.
No.
Giannis is way better than all those other guys. So like that's just like not enough. So like start there. But I think the other thing that is, you know, worth recognizing is last year was the step that they needed to take. Like, if they would have flamed out in the first round, if they would have lost to the Boston Celtics, this year would be crazy. Like, there would be so much pressure on this year to make sure that they get to where they need to get. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They got to an overtime in Game 3 where they, if they win that game, they're going to the NBA Finals, and they might beat the Warriors in the NBA Finals. We don't know. Everything would not have played out the same way, but they would have had that chance. So last year, they took the step that they needed to take. Giannis is not really someone who has any interest in recruiting. Like, that's not something, I guess, kind of like Derrick Rose, I think, was the guy that was like the most vocal about like, oh no, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to play with somebody else. Giannis hasn't really said that, but he doesn't appear to have any interest in it. I also think it's a big deal that he doesn't play for Team USA. I'm of the belief that that's where super teams get made. Like, if you look through the history of really good players playing together, you can go to the 16 Olympics, you can go to the 12 Olympics, you can go to the 08 Olympics, like all those years, or maybe I got it wrong, 10, 14, I don't know. Whatever the years of the Olympics are, like, that's where super teams get built, is Team USA, when they're hanging out on a yacht.
It's when the Nets super team got built, Kyrie, DeAndre, and Durant.
But like, that's where it happens. Like, you hang out with dudes and you're like, you know what, this is pretty cool. Like, I like playing with other dudes that are really good at basketball. This makes my life really easy. But there's no Nick Calathes super team. Like, that's not happening with the Greek national team. So I think that helps out the Bucks as well. And then, like, there is just the spot where he's super competitive, and I think he wants to win a ring with these guys. Like, I think he wants to prove that, just like I think in many ways Kawhi's going to get credit for doing it by himself, even though that Raptors team was really good last year and really talented. Kawhi got credit for doing it by himself, and I think Giannis in the same way would want some credit for getting a ring by himself and seeing if he can pull it off.
Yeah, the situation I've kind of compared it to from the Warriors side was the Durant final couple of years in Oklahoma City, where going into KD's final year, which I covered there, there was a lot of where might he go in free agency speculation, but there was never, ever a should the Warriors trade him? Will they trade him? What would be a package to get KD? Because there was obvious knowledge at the time that the Thunder, without any type of assurances from Durant or Durant's camp that he was staying, he clearly obviously ended up not, they still wanted to try to win the title in 2016, because they had a team, like the Bucks will have a team, that is at least considered a contender. And you only trade the superstar if you aren't a contender. You know, Anthony Davis gets traded because the Pelicans aren't close. Yep. Carl Anthony Towns, I know he's a while away, but, like, you know, assuming Minnesota doesn't get close, like, yeah, he might get traded years before the contract ends, because where are they going? Even if – but the one difference with the KD situation, which I wanted to ask you about, was there was no Supermax at the time. A lot of the reason the Supermax was made is because of the KD situation. So there wasn't a Supermax for KD to decline, to give more of a hint to the Thunder that he might – leave. What would happen if this summer he says no? And do you expect, I mean, I don't know if you have any read on if he'll say yes or no. It's obviously going to be offered.
Yeah. So obviously they're going to offer it on July 1st. I mean, I think if they get eliminated in the second round, so, like, let's say somehow the Sixers mess around as they are messing around right now, somehow end up playing the Bucks in the second round as opposed to the Eastern Conference Finals. Bucks lose the Sixers. Like, yeah, I think stuff gets real interesting there. But, I mean, I think if the Bucks make a finals trip, I think it's all but guaranteed that he ends up signing and staying in Milwaukee, sign the Supermax when they offer it on July 1st. And then if they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals again, all right, it's a little bit less sure. It would be a spot where I think maybe Giannis would want to make sure he's applying pressure and making sure that the Bucks are doing everything they can to go out and win in NBA Finals. But, like, the Bucks aren't trading him. Like, whether or not that happens, like, whether or not he says, I'm signing, I'm not signing, like, if he says he's not signing, they are not trading him. Like, they will go into that year, I guess, in a similar way that the Raptors went with it with Kawhi. Like, they're going to try to win that year and convince him, like, hey, we won an NBA Finals. You really leaving? Like, are you really going to leave now that we won this Finals? Like, that would be their ultimate goal. And again, is it a risk? Of course. It's a huge risk not to get anything for him if he were to leave.
I mean, look at the Thunder with Durant.
Like, it can happen, and you can put yourself in a really tough position. But at the same time, you're not going to have that many chances to win a title. Like, winning a title is really freaking hard. And if you can have a chance where you're one of the 2 to 3 most favorited teams, you got to take it. So I guess I'll say all that. So to sum it up, I think there's a good chance he's back. If they go to the NBA Finals, I think it's a really good chance that he's signing on July 1st. If he doesn't sign on July 1st, they're not trading him. Like, they will play it out with Giannis and see what happens.
And then they'll go to the Hamptons. it's right. Because, look, even if, in a weird way, even if Giannis was like, even, especially with the NBA, you know how, like, the underworld works. And even if they're getting hints, as, you know, the Thunder kind of were, that, like, you know, obviously KD was looking around. You remember, like, before, there was Warriors rumblings while he was playing in the series against the Warriors. But if you win the title and he leaves, kind of like Kawhi just did, that I would say an NBA title for the Milwaukee Bucks in the long term is more valuable. An NBA title and Giannis leaving is more valuable than a non-NBA title and whatever package they were going to get.
Yeah.
4 first-round 100%. Picks and, you know, a couple solid players.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it's the best negotiating, like, nugget to throw on the table if you win a title. And though the Thunder got nothing for Kevin Durant, nothing for the greatest player to ever walk through the doors, I don't think they at all regret not shopping him. They probably should have won the title that year. They were up 3-1 on the Warriors. Everyone knows that. So, that's why when all this Giannis stuff is talked about, I just don't – I mean, unless he demands out – which he's not going to. It doesn't seem, I mean, like, you know, anything, I guess, can happen, but something would really have to go bad. I see them taking it to the wire because historically that's the smart play if you're a title contender, yep. and they will be with the way they built the team around him. So now free agency, you never know. That is one thing I will caution.
For sure.
You never, ever, ever know, but I think it will at least get to free agents.
I 100% agree. Like, again, that's what... And I don't want to say, like, thinking about this stuff is foolish, because the entire league is. Like, this isn't just fan fiction. Like, the executives are thinking about these things. Like, how do we get Giannis from Milwaukee? So, like, I'm not going to say it's foolish to think about these things. But, like, when you're thinking about how this is going to play out, we just laid out the most likely scenario. Like, this is probably how it goes unless something drastic happens. And with the way that this Bucks team is playing, barring a catastrophic injury, I think it's going to be pretty tough for them not to advance far in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Like, I think it's going to be tough for them not to go to the Eastern Conference finals. Like, they're just that good of a team. They've built this team in such a way that Giannis might just be able to do it himself. Like, if Eric Bledsoe doesn't show up, if Chris Middleton doesn't show up, whatever. Like, Giannis is that good that he could just be like, all right, we're going to go to the Eastern Conference finals anyways.
Yeah. The smart teams, the smart executives that are trying to figure out a path to Giannis are thinking about it as a free agent.
Yep.
And clearing the right cap space and making the right team and the right pitch for a free agent. Not, I don't think, like, what trade package.
No.
Because that's what the smart teams did with Durant. That's what the Warriors, while winning 73 games, were doing behind the scenes with Durant.
Well, certainly was.
So, all right. Anything else? Anything else from this thriller?
No, I think we talked on all the relevant points in the first 3 minutes and then talked about all the good stuff in the final whatever minutes we just talked for.
All right, appreciate it. And I think they come there in, I don't know, like March or something like that. Maybe, which is good for Milwaukee fans because Steph Curry will probably play in that game.
I look forward to that. Like, I just like seeing Steph play basketball. It's just fun.
So I saw him yesterday post practice. We were like trying to be pushed out of the practice, but first time I've seen him, he was doing a shooting routine using the left hand, the broken hand, with Steve Nash and Bruce Frazier. And I saw him pregame. I don't know if he went back to the Warriors locker room, but their practice facility's down in that bunker, and he was doing it again. So he's inching closer.
Okay.
He's doing hand strengthening exercises and stuff. I'm starting to think, like, post All-Star break, he's got a real shot.
Okay. That's good. I mean, that's just good for the league.
It's, like, good for the league. It's very good because you know how many national TV games the Warriors have in the second half, including three ABC Saturday night games, which I don't think are flexible.
So I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty sure they're not.
Yeah. So unless people want to see that the product on the floor tonight, Steph Curry coming back in the second half would be good. Now, is that good for the Warriors lottery odds? It'll probably hurt him a little, but... yeah, I think everyone wants to see that.
I agree. All this is fun.
Yeah, it was. I will talk to you probably again in March. Maybe we'll do this again.